Hey there, folks. Welcome back to Divas, Diamonds, and Dollars podcast, where we empower today's lady boss who seeks whole life strategies for living their best life. We bring you the key success principles to support you as you grow into the best version of yourself, offering you helpful tips on personal finance, leadership, and business to help you get ahead and succeed at a higher level. Gentle persons, we are your hosts, Larissa Troach and
Cecilia Benford.
just by the by, you know, we are on Instagram and all the social media platforms. So why don't you just pop on over and follow us and keep up with us during the week? How about that? Listen, now I'm getting ready to age myself because that's what I do. Who remembers the reality show, if you will, because that term had not been invented, I don't think. But the reality show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, as hosted by Robin Leach. Now each week he featured the extravagant lifestyles of the wealthy entertainers, athletes, socialites, why is that even a word, and magnates. I'm gonna say that given that it aired between 1985 and 1994, that was a long time. Probably not many of you, but Cecilia and I do, because you know we're grown folks. But I'm suggesting that it was a precursor, if you will, for today's reality shows, touting the excessive lifestyle and those who shall remain nameless. So our topic, if you will, is lifestyles of the rich and famous, and are you on the wealth track? So when you work hard, you generally want to play hard or sometimes treat yourself to a little something special. And frankly, you know me. Check out this office. I'm all for, you know, rewarding ourselves and excellent self-care. Still working on that part. However, there is a fine line between a little something special and overspending on fripperies that are detracting from your bright future. So we're not suggesting that you do without. That's not my way. We just want you to be mindful and create a good life that focuses on the meaningful, not so much on the material excesses, but more on the experiences and relationships that make everything more enjoyable. So we want you to have your cake and eat it too, but it might just be a smaller piece of cake or maybe a different flavor. What say you?
That today truly is the name of the game, in terms of everybody is putting somebody out there as famous with money, influencers, right? So all that is, let's give it up to the internet. Internet brings people to your living rooms and wherever in your car. So it's also knowing that it's easy to get caught up on the conspicuous consumption as our gaze wanders to influencers that flaunt everything. I mean, everything. Sometimes I look and say, is that even a thing? I saw one yesterday. And I'm like, how is this a thing? Okay. And I said, oh, well. But they, everybody's promoting the latest and greatest must-have. So with that, how can you stay on track and build wealth without getting in over your head? So let's discuss six ways, all right, that may be sabotaging your financial future. So as I said, there are six ways. And as you listen and think about, oh, do any of these, am I one of these? Does any of this sound familiar? If you say yes to one or more of these habits, you may want to take a step back and create a different self-soothing. I really like that thinking, a different way of self-soothing. Because, I believe, if I was to rephrase that, I think a lot of times people rationalize why they need something, right? Here we go. Impulse buying. Rationalize why I must. Know your triggers. That's true. Know your triggers. There's no such thing as window shopping. Somebody made that term up.
I tell myself that I used to tell myself that lie, but at least now I acknowledge it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, avoid the temptation and just stay out of the stores and off Amazon. I mean, even if you're walking in the mall, walk in the mall. Do not look in the stores, okay? Chances are you don't need it. Wait a week. If it's still there, it's yours. I heard a lady come, I think she may have come by yesterday. And she was talking about a friend who said, "Well, how am I going to do this?" and blah, blah, blah. And my friend spoke about the other lady and said, "Well, we're retired. Do you really need all that stuff?" So I'm not speaking just to retired people, but sometimes your state, or do you have a different job? Hey, just think about how many people are working from home. I think a lot of people probably save some money in the clothing department, but then again, oh no, now I got to change my wardrobe. But the thing is, do you really need it? Save for what you want. Remember layaway? Well, truly, it's not as popular as it used to be, but it's still available in some stores. You can also manage your own layaway. Set aside a few dollars each week. I like that. Lay away a few dollars each week or pay period, whichever case, till you've saved enough. Buy cash flowing assets to pay for it. So use the income from an asset that you are earning from, to reward. You've already earned the reward. You've already got the extra, but however amount of extra that is, to buy a goodie using the installment plan. Don't deny yourself, just get creative. Now, I have to say something here because two things that have come out recently. And things are kind of turning around a bit. So since we have all this impulse buying, I'm going to use local steals and deals, or what's another one? CBS morning deals or something.
Yeah, I've seen that. Well,
Yeah, I'm kind of like, if I didn't have a little discipline here, I have bought a few things off of those.
are you telling on yourself? Have you really?
I am. But so I had a recent debate, and I'm going to get to the other two things. Now, yeah, so I told on that one. So instant gratification. Well, as I mentioned about rationalizing, I believe sometimes we do rationalize things. CBS morning deals. And I can, anyway, a close cousin to impulse buying, right? Instant impulse sounds kind of the same, but in this case, you're using a credit card for a purchase. And so it could possibly be on your list. I actually make a wish list in two categories, like long-term projects or just even, you can do it on Amazon, but it's a list. It means that you don't currently have the money for it. So create a spending plan. We used to say budget, but for a lot of people, I mean, I know a couple people like that. That just doesn't sit well. So to be more realistic, we call it a spending plan. Psychologically, you're getting to buy that. You're going to buy it, but you're planning for it. Okay, so that is something very supportive for your lifestyle goal. We're talking about a lifestyle. Sometimes you got to grow up. Like Risa said, grown people, but sometimes you wonder. Some people never grow out of some habits. Grow up and, establish a planned lifestyle. That's what we're talking about. Never pay full price. Now, I'm the one I just kind of bugs me to pay full price for anything, because I think a lot of it has to do, with the contracting and negotiation background for years, decades. It's knowing what goes into the cost of, goods and services sometimes. Maybe it's just my frugal personality, but it is a bad, it is something that I want a discount. I want a comparison shop. I talked, that too has been a recent conversation. And I said, don't just buy it just yet without doing some research. Okay. So recent.
For her research and within the family, we know how she is, and we could adopt that habit. A little research is all we thought.
And maybe that takes a little bit out of one's, time, because you don't want to just be searching. But this is really a segue into, I had a conversation with somebody else this week, and it was, kind of a debate about whether the one is surfing the net or searching. And slight distinction. Well, if you're on social media, as soon as I say this, everybody's gonna nod their head. All these pop-up ads. Do I really need all those pop-up ads? And you're off and running. The one, for example, I guess I won't say the name of the company, but I wondered what the name of this company was about. And I may have even gotten a couple of emails, but this was one I was able to successfully unsubscribe from. But the real point is that when I saw it, and then it was later in the news because it was a Chinese company, I was like, ah, okay. I'm glad I saw it, and I, took some information, put the two together. For me, it was, I'm going to stay away from that company. But it's actually a shopping. It's a shopping thing. It is something that millions of people are using. So, okay. If you like trinkets and all that kind of stuff, yeah, but, invest. Take something from your assets that will pay for them. So, end of the month, check yourself on just these last two, impulse buying and instant gratification. Keep track. What did you buy that you really had not planned to buy? So, I had something today. Now, sometimes you do things to support other people. And I kind of like, okay, this is, I've already spent my money for the month in terms of my personal, donation area and buying things that are just kind of over and above, not really on the need list, right? But something came up. I said, okay, do I really want to do this now? And I started to wait, but then I thought, no, get it done. But I had some credit. I had dollars that was sitting in a, credit category. And so actually, I went ahead and bought it, and I only paid 40 cents. So I was satisfied with the deal. Because one, the items were on sale, they were on discount first. I looked at that. They were both on discount. It supported somebody. And I only spent a few cents based on some dollars I had rewards item. Okay. Overpaying. So we kind of talked about that. That was a segue to the overpaying aspect. A lot of times we say that you want it, you deserve it. Those two little phrases alone probably are something that you really need to, oops, 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 I want it. Okay, you deserve it, so why not get it? Well, if you made the choice to buy, and do you do it right away? Well, if you're going to do that, maybe you spend a lot of time, and the two biggest things are houses and cars, I'm going to say. Well, if you're going to do that, increase your down payment. All right. Today vehicles cost a lot of money. So I don't care how low they get the interest rate. The cost of cars are just outrageous, in my opinion. And people, there are people, who, buy expensive cars, whether they need them or not, or just because I've always wanted a BMW. I'm just throwing that out. Nothing wrong with a BMW. That's just, I don't know, three little letters or something. But what else could you be doing with that $3,000 a month payment?
So that's the thing. I here in Manteca, I just want to share. I probably said this 18 times. I see these monster trucks driving around. First of all, they're huge and obnoxious, but I actually, there was a news segment, if you will, about people who are getting in over their heads by paying, a few thousand dollars a month for a car payment. I'm like, how is that even possible?
I know, I
You already
know.
said, first of all, the price, sticker price is ridiculous. Because I totally want a Cadillac Lyric. I saw someone drive it there. That's a But I don't think I could cough it up if I had it, because it's just so over the top. Like, who pays $70,000 for a truck? And so when I heard that people were paying $1,000, $2,000, I'm trying to keep my
I
payment
can't. I
ten
can't fathom
dollars
such a
because
thing.
I mean, I refuse to do that. So insane. So yeah, every time I see it, I say, I hope you love that, because I sure all I can think about is how expensive it is. But anyway, yeah, you could be doing a whole bunch of other things with that money. I'm like, how do you even drive off the lot with the payment that high? But maybe
That's right.
they got bank and no bills. I don't know.
Well, and to just to take that just a little bit further, because again, this was another conversation I had with somebody about car buying. Maybe you can make that payment monthly, you think, but have you really considered the maintenance and the insurance? Insurance has gone up. That's on the news all the time. So overpaying, okay? And truly, maybe leasing is better. Not, there are a lot of, depends on what you want, but just throwing that out there. Learning to negotiate. Now, I know people who never like to negotiate. And it's a little problematic if they're, with me or something, because I'm like, well, why are we doing this, because I'm like, I think there's a question to be asked here. So real estate investor and guru, Sharif Mediwar teaches, no matter what number you hear, wince theatrically, okay? Everything is actually negotiable. I believe that, okay? Most of us just aren't comfortable enough to ask, is that your best price or can you do better? Now I get that. I do get that. But there's some different ways to challenge things in the sphere of negotiation. So I'm just going to throw that out without, keep on about that. And then finally, in my top three, mind your credit. Having a higher credit score garners better loan terms because you're seen as less of a risk. And I will tell you, there are some people just don't get the credit score idea. They just, you talk to them about it and they just don't get it. I personally don't understand. I guess it's because they feel like, oh, it doesn't matter. Somebody else is pulling the string. I don't honestly know. Or is it just total denial? But hey, your credit score, in my view, if you're minding your credit score, that means you're managing your money. That's what I believe. The bottom line is you're managing your money if you have a better credit score, a higher credit score. So there are several things that affect one's credit score that people don't pay attention to in terms of type of credit cards they have and all that. But that's not this month's topic, so I don't want to go off too much on that. But just hopefully, impulse buying, instant gratification, and overpayment. Before Louise talks about her three, I think there's a lot here to think about. If you are that person, okay, no time like the present. Get started.
And look, and no one's claiming perfection. We've all done the things at one time or another, but the point is to learn and to do better. And you've already heard it said before, but it's not how much you make, it is how much you keep. And frankly, working hard is actually not enough. You've also got to work smart. So don't make these mistakes. And on my list would be waiting to invest. Now, some people will put off investing till, someday I'm gonna get out. I'm gonna do that because I know I should. Or when I'm rich, or you know what? I just don't have enough money. That is so not the case these days. There have been a lot of changes in the law that make it okay or accessible for the rest of us, as I like to call it. If you wait to invest, you are truly missing out on great returns. So let me just tell you what that looks like. First of all, time matters. Time with your dollars being invested versus essentially waiting and not investing and essentially going backwards because inflation. That is another new word I want y'all to know about. Inflation is eroding our purchasing power, right? So consider compound interest. A lot of people don't know what that means, but I'm here to tell you. I'm here to introduce it to you when I'm class today. Essentially, compound interest is the earn you is the interest you earn on your interest. If you put in $100 and you make 10%, that's $110, right? So the next time you get your interest, it's 100 interest on that 110, and don't make me do the math. Another $10 is 110.1, right? So each time you're earning interest, you're building on the interest that you earned before. So it's not like just you have $100. Every time that goes up, it's based on the previous new amount where the interest was already added. So consider that the earlier you start, the more you stand to earn just by the dint of being invested of all, at all. So quit putting it off. You're so behind the eight ball when you do not invest your money. And here's some encouragement for you. We want you to learn the rule of 72. Write that down. Rule of 72. Because if you're like, well, that money's just going to sit there. It's not doing anything for me. It's going to take forever. Listen, it may take, it's not going to be tomorrow, but it is not going to take forever. Did you know that if your investment, for example, this is how you figure out the rule of 72. If your investment rate of return is 6%, I just said 10% for the $10. That was just simple math. But, you know, depending on what you invest in, depending on how your risk tolerance is, your money doubles approximately every 8 years. Or if you if your investment was earning 10%, it's going to double every 7.2 years, and every 6 years if you're earning 12%. So I want you, the way the rule of 72 is, divide 72 by the expected interest rate, and that will tell you how long it will take for your money to double. So again, it's your interest, but it's time, and as that interest adds up, it will double periodically. That is why you must get in early. You must get in now. Try it and manage your investment choices and, of course, your risk tolerance accordingly. Rule of 72. Remember that. And then dollar cost averaging. You, unless you're someone who is who this is your job, if you're an investment banker or a hedge fund manager, great. But for the rest of us, you cannot time the market. No one can time the market, no matter what they tell you. You can't time the market, but you must spend time in the market. I feel like I was a preacher there for a minute. Allocate a regular amount of money each month into the market, whether it's a $25, $50, or $100, ideally more, but disposable income that you are not needing for your bills. But you must allocate at least some portion of your dollars. And you know, like I said, if your budget allows for it, invest more, and you just automate it so you're not overthinking it. The market will go up and down. That's how it works. But the long-term trajectory is up. But you must be in the market in order to benefit from the growth in the market. So that first one, waiting to invest, don't you do it? My fave, not diversifying your income. Having a sole source of income could effectively render you, your skills, obsolete at the rate technology is changing. Do not put all your eggs in one basket. You know, that is way back from kindergarten. I don't know how old that is, but that's, it goes back. The world is changing and it has a higher price tag. Now, I know you know that. I'm starting to notice that. I was just, you know, people are talking about inflation and that's kind of high, but sometimes high has gone into ridiculous. Those are the different levels of price changes. You got your high and your WTF, whatever. You need more than one source of income to manage or to even just to keep up, never mind get ahead. So what are you going to do? I'm re suggesting that you want to earn passive income through your investments and or automation. I'm not trying to get you to work 24/7, but you can arrange your affairs, as they say, so that you can receive passive income. Passive income is money that you're not trading hours for. And automation is taking advantage of, you know, the apps or features that just kind of send out your product and your message on the regular basis. And, you know, you can make a sale without you even being there. You do not have to be involved in the clicks. And I've already told you could use your skill sets to earn freelance income, kind of work when you want to. That is a little bit of trading hours or fees from coaching. Group coaching, not individual, one-on-one, right? One to many. And then, or retainers that you can get through consulting. You've got the brain power, put it to work. And this is a thing right here. You need to stop overpaying on your taxes. You want to maximize your deductions. There are a gajillion legal deductions that people don't take because they're, I'm going to say, don't have the knowledge, but you need to look into that and you need to find a tax advisor, not just an accountant or not just a tax preparer, but a tax advisor to or read, or there's the internet, to find out what your deductions are. With W-2 income, you can still save on your taxes with a 401k or other pre-tax retirement income, and you got to plan for the future anyway. You can also reduce your taxes. Did you raise your finger? With a high deductible health savings account, HSA, which, unlike the regular FSA, flexible spending account, can be rolled over year to year. And a lot of people who have, they've maxed out their other retirements, they lean into this HSA to save additional money. Now, the best deductions, I'm here to tell you, come from running a business. This is why I promote having one to three businesses in addition to your W-2 income. Offset the additional income that you're earning from this diversification by writing off the legally allowable business expenses. And it's on the news every 5 minutes how the corporations are not paying a lot of taxes because what? They're maximizing deductions. The deductions are on the books. You just need to become familiar with the deduction and take advantage. You might not be a Fortune 500 corporation, but there's a lot you can write off, and it will make a true difference to your tax liability. Now, we've given you the doom and gloom. We've given you six mystery habits that could be keeping you off the wealth track. And just quickly, before we tell you how to recover, if you will, just a quick reminder, the best way to support us is to share this episode with a friend. And be sure to leave us a five-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That would help us out, and we want to say thank you in advance. All right. We don't leave you hanging with doom and gloom. Remedies. We have remedies. How do you counter these mistakes? First of all, why don't you just adopt an attitude of why not me? I have a very why not healthy why not me muscle, which makes me try new things and to learn and to continue to grow in advance and to take advantage of some of these options that used to be only available to the 1%. With today's abundant information and technological advances, the average Jane has access to many of the same opportunities the wealthy do. I'm talking about you. You too can do more with your money. However, remember that the wealthy are growing their money, not blowing their money. At the same time, you do not have to be miserable while growing your wealth. Saving and investing for your future while also enjoying your lifestyle are actually not mutually exclusive. So, a few closing thoughts to bring it on home. This is so critical. Write this down. Be aware of lifestyle creep. Now, you make more and slowly find yourself spending more. It happens because you're not paying attention. You have to pay attention. Bigger is actually not always better. And so, see, I already mentioned, the cost of maintaining these fancy vehicles. They're fancy for a reason. They try to make it exclusive, which means everything costs more. A McMansion costs so much more to maintain than a house with a smaller footprint. Now, you'll probably even likely save on property taxes as well. So think about all this kind of think things through before you make that spending decision. Because frankly, you really don't need to buy a new car every 3 to 4 years. You don't. You'll still get there in a well-maintained model a few years old. The story about Warren Buffett, he still lives in his first house, very modest, as I said, it was a very modest house. And he drove an old Ford for the longest time. I'm sure it finally wore out, but he was very frugal with his money. And look at Warren today. Now, we might not always be a Warren Buffett, but I think we could take some of the same steps. And People think of when they hear short-term rentals, because I'm about to mention short-term rentals, everybody thinks of Airbnb, and that may work if you have extra space or an extra property. But listen, especially if you're a dual-income household, maybe you own a second home, but you don't live there all the time. So why not rent it out when you're not using it? Don't just let it sit. That is definitely not putting your money to work. You can do the same with a houseboat, a speedboat, jet ski, RV. Almost anything that people need to rent. You can even rent out a parking space or a garage or storage space. If you have an office, or why not rent out venue space? You have to get creative. People need it. Put a sign up for rent, make some extra money. So get creative and get paid. Lots to think about. So this is a shareable episode. I'm gonna go ahead and point that out for y'all one more time.
Yes, for sure. Because there's nothing said here that I guess the average person doesn't experience or deal with at some point. Particularly if you have a job, particularly if you pay some bills, and particularly just the fact that if you watch TV or read something, you're going to be influenced by some things we said here. So, yeah, everybody's not out there trying to buy a tiny house. And even the fact that they got to a tiny house, they went through some of these thought processes. Okay. So, think, how about this as a final takeaway? Think experience over material goods. I do believe that the pandemic has really actually expanded this aperture for people to realize. You know what? Experiences are probably a good thing. I probably don't need that 10th watch or evening gown that I'm never going to wear, or maybe I'll wear one time. Get the most out of your money by choosing experiences. It's likely going to leave you with a more lasting satisfaction over, these thrills that just kind of come and go. Prioritize both financial success as well as personal fulfillment. So again, Larissa and I are not saying, do one thing and not the other. Truly, you work hard for the money. Isn't that what it says? You do deserve to buy some things. You do deserve to enjoy your money. You do deserve to live it up. But, we're just saying with some thought with that, okay? Create a spending plan. I find it much more fulfilling when I have bought something that I had planned out than actually splurge buying. So this is kind of like you feel like you checked something off your list, you planned for, and it just seems to be more gratifying for me. When you do that, you are paying yourself first because you save for it. When you save something, you got some earned investment. And so that $10, as Larissa already explained, maybe in fact what you bought or planning to buy is only $10, but by the fact that you saved it, you have that little extra. So who knows what you do with that? But allocate an allowance for regular fun. A lot of times people want to go on cruises and things like that. Well, that's fine, but did you plan for it? Okay. Travel, outings, concerts. We need to have these enriching experiences. But you know what? If you're just kind of in the hole, you probably won't enjoy it as well. Okay. Because, when you kind of went out on a limb, whatever makes you smile. But I think at the end of the day, you'll remember an experience a year from now more so than what somebody else is trying to tell you to buy, what somebody else is saying is a good thing. Remember to be you. I think at the end of the day, don't be influenced by the influencers. There's a reason they're called influencers. Don't be that person. Remember to be you. Enjoy something that, is who you are, and that when you walk away, lifestyle is that I'm also growing wealth at the same time. So, Larissa, what else would you like to tell us about next week? And
Well, that was more than a mouthful. So, and it was like I feel like I had a workout talking about that. But I hope you got some good points and some good takeaways, because next week we are going to wrap up a very full month. We have been talking about lifestyle this whole month, but it's not just the lifestyle of the rich and famous. It's about the life you live. So next week we're going to maybe talk about how your lifestyle impacts your leadership. How does it all come together? We will see you then, gentle persons. Ciao.